This is a new series in which we invite well-known musicians to come and talk about how they play, what they play, and why. My name's Tony Hale, and I'll be asking the questions today here in the Duke of York's Theatre in St Martin's Lane, along with 400 or so Capital listeners checking out today's guest. He's a pianist, guitarist, composer, and singer. And if we wanted to talk about the making of music, we couldn't do better than speak to him. John Miles! Music was my first love. John, welcome to Capital.
Thank you, nice to be here.
You're perhaps best known for your song Music, and it seems certain that music, as the song says, is your first love. But our first questioner who wrote in wanted to go right back to your roots. It was from John Cattini, the first question. He said, how did you start in music?
I think it was about 5 or 6 years old when I... My dad always had a piano in the house. He used to play piano, accordion and piano. And I sort of showed an interest at about 5 or 6 years old. And always had kind of a good ear for picking up tunes, which means that you don't have to have any musical training. If you hear a tune, you pick it up. And I remember probably the first tune that I played, I went to see the Dam Busters. Is anybody old enough to remember the Dam Busters? Yeah? Well, I remember coming home and sort of just picking out like a... And my mum and dad thought, oh, that sounds all right, we'll send her a music lesson. So I was duly packed off, myself and my brother, to a classical piano teacher. And I went there for about 8-9 years, took the usual exams, and learned a lot about the theory, although I did have an ear to pick up tunes, which is a great help. It also helps a lot to learn the theory and the kind of structure of chords.
How long did you spend actually doing the classical stuff?
About 8-9 years, I think.
And got to what level?
Grade 4, I think it was.
Is that good?
It's average. It was enough. I mean, I learned to sight read very well, which over the years I've forgotten because it's not really that necessary to sight read the way I am now. I mean, if I was a session musician, it would be absolutely necessary, but right now it's not. So I've let that slip a bit. But, to learn to read music, I mean, I think it's a necessity.
So if you were advising somebody, and obviously there will be people listening who are just about to set out on what they hope is a musical career, what's the best way to do it?
Well, as I said before, it obviously helps to have an ear for music. It helped me. I mean, that was my start in music, really, because I could sort of pick out a tune. And then to actually go along and be trained to play. And, they teach you the fingering, the scales and all that kind of thing. You know, sort of... Very boring, and it's the kind of thing that you have to work at, really, because I didn't realise at the time how much of a help it would be later on, and it still is a help. I mean, especially the sort of fingering thing, and the chord sort of, whereas you would play a D with straight D, sounds much nicer if you play it with an F sharp bass at times. Like,
yeah, just let me interrupt. Which one is the F sharp in the bass? Because I couldn't tell the difference.
No. As opposed to.
So what you're doing is actually taking the notes in the chord
and
turning them upside down a bit.
And using them, yeah. I mean, it happened that way in music. Now, if you were to play the straight chords in music, they are E to A, B to A. I add the bass line to it, and it's... just makes it sound more interesting, really.
So that's a tip that you'd give to somebody who was potentially going to play, that they should try and do it properly, try and learn properly.
I think so, yeah, especially the technique.
Yeah. Roy Thomas has sent in a question that says, what's the process that you have to go through when you're composing? Can we add that on, perhaps, during this program, to what's the process do you go through when you're making a demo tape? Lots of people won't actually know what you have to do. Could I ask you whether you could make us a demo tape during this program? Of have you any new material that you could work on?
Yeah. A set of lyrics which was given to me by Bob Marshall, my dear compatriot. And, if you want to... See how
just read us the lyrics first before you do anything else.
play on music, neon light shine down. It started like one more weekend driving downtown. A few years ago, Bob used to come up with the lyrics first, and they were more not kind of song lyrics, but kind of just lines and lines and lines and lines, and I found that very difficult to work with. So nowadays we sort of swap roles, and I do the music first and write in a song format. But now if Bob does do the lyrics first, he kind of writes in the song format as well, which is kind of verse, bridge, chorus, whatever.
All right, so you've got a sheet of words there that you've got to turn into a song. Does something leap out straight away? Do you think, I know what the tune is for that?
I suppose it does, really, because, as I say, it's written verse, chorus, and bridge, so I take the chorus first, and try and get some kind of hook going from there. Something that's kind of memorable, which occurs in the song three or four times.
All right, well, let's put you on the spot. What is that? I mean, can you think of something straight away now?
I had a slight opportunity. When I flew down today, I had this set of lyrics, and I had a little hour to kill. And just thought of the chords, really. And they're very simple chords, D minor, to an A, minor seventh, G minor seventh. Repetitive. Which is the chorus line.
So you've already got some chords there, but do you have a melody line that you're going to sing along to in your head as well?
Yeah, right.
That's the tune that you're eventually going to sing. So, all right, you've had this idea on the plane. What happens when, assuming you're not in front of an audience, not doing a radio show, but if you're in the studio, what would you now do?
I would, first of all, put the drum track down. I mean, there are lots of drum machines on the market now. There are cheap ones and expensive ones. Some very expensive ones, which are... the expensive ones are all recorded on sort of silicon chips, and they're real drum sounds. I mean, but they are a lot of money. But, I mean, to basically write, I mean, I use this thing to write with. It's, I suppose it's quite cheap as far as drum machines go. It's about £150 or something. And it's got everything on it. It's got a bass drum on it, a snare drum, a tom-tom, cymbals, hi-hat. And you can just program whichever kind of rhythm that you want into it. And you have 16 little buttons here, which means you can have different rhythms on each one of those. And when it comes down to actually putting a song together, you can have each section... Like the verse, you can have different, you can have the chorus different, you can have a few little fills programmed into it. Switch it on, and this clever little Japanese fella inside puts it all together for you.
And it is about the size of a transistor radio.
Yeah, it's very, very light. It's a good machine for just for demoing. I mean, it's all the sounds on it are electrically produced. They're not actual drum sounds, but it's good enough for the job.
So what's it sound like?
What does it sound like? Hang on. That's a bass drum, right? Hi-hat. Snare drum. Tom-tom. That's the kind of thing you can do when you're gonna change. And you have a little fill like
Okay, so you program your little device, and what do you do? You play that and then play an instrument at the same
and
time?
And maybe just play piano, yeah.
Well, you're going to do that for us then?
Uh-huh, okay.
Right, so the drum machine is about to come up. Thank you. so you've now got drums and piano. I mean, do you know what this song's called yet?
Yeah, it's called What's Your Name?
Now, this what we haven't done so far is perhaps answer Roy Thomas's question in detail. He wants to know about the process when you're composing. I mean, do you sit in the bath, or how do songs come?
Well, they come in various ways. Usually the ones that are easiest to write are the kind of things where you're sitting watching TV, you know, maybe sitting watching Coronation Street or something, and all of a sudden, sort of 20 minutes through it, something just... I don't know what it is, something just sort of sparks off something in you. Like maybe just a little melody line or a chord sequence, maybe your sort of mind wanders a bit, and you think of something, nip straight into the room with the piano, because I have a room with a piano and the guitar and an amp and the drum machine, and a cassette player, and just put it down. And usually the best songs come like that. I mean, some of them obviously you have to work at, because there's not enough time really to wait for inspiration.
Lots of famous songwriters say that very often their best songs took 5 or 10 minutes to do. Is that true of you?
It is.
How long
true,
did
yeah.
music take?
Music took about half an hour. Sick, isn't it? It really is. That was written in a hotel room in Leeds. Actually, I was. This was well before I moved to London to sort of try and get something going. I was staying in Leeds. We were playing at a club in Leeds for a week, just doing the sort of. We were filling in between records. You know, it was like that. And there was a sort of horrible old piano, nothing like this wonderful, what's it called? This Yamaha piano I have in front of me now. It was just a really basic upright piano, quite out of tune, and I had a little cassette player with me. And just a few hours to kill one day. And I went downstairs, switched the cassette player on, and just started to play from start to finish, and started with... That just sort of came into the head, you know what I mean? No tune at that time, just the chords. And then I thought, oh, well, that's quite nice. And so I thought, well, I'll try something else, you know what I mean? And all that, and from there, sort of went to another section, you know, like... sort of basically not connected, not thinking of them being one song, just sort of playing for the sake of playing, to try and come up with ideas for maybe various songs from that.
Yeah.
But on sort of after about half an hour and playing the tape back, I thought, well, that sort of seems to fit really nicely together. And then I went back, listened to the tape, picked out the best pieces, stuck them together, and the idea for the lyric just came into my head, you know, so I just thought, well, that sounds all right. It was only 8 lines of lyric or something. And did it. And it was half an hour. It was as simple as that. Frightening,
but you can't, just do that whenever you want to.
No. Sometimes if you just sit down actually at a piano and, you know, switch the cassette on to record and just play whatever comes into your head, usually you would come out with about 2 or 3 sections that you could either use in one song, or you could split up into like 2-3 different songs, and use them individually.
Okay, let's just break from that for a moment to have a question. We've got Julie Wright with us, and Julie's got a question about writing lyrics and how to make those into songs. Julie,
I write poetry and have some of my work set to music, but I would like to know how you turn poetry into song lyrics. My reason for asking is that I have written a poem that I'm particularly proud of and would like to put it to music. My musician friends insist that the poem should not be altered in any way, but as it stands, it doesn't fit into a musical context very easily.
So Julie's problem is that she's already written something,
mm-hmm.
Which her musical friends say she ought not to change because it has strength of its own. Now, you work with a writer, don't you? Bob Marshall,
yeah.
Who writes lyrics.
Uh-huh.
Are Julie's friends right? Should it be left and the composer should have to change his tune to fit her lyrics, or should she change the words to fit the tune?
Well, that really depends on who's doing the music. If it was me, I would tend to sort of say change it to a song format, because that's the way I write. But I think probably the classic example of poetry being set to music is the Bernie Taupin, Elton John situation. whereas Bernie Taupin would always just write whatever he felt like writing, and it wasn't in a song format. And he would send the title out to John, and he would put music to it. But that is, as I said, it depends on what kind of person you get to do, what kind of musician you get to do it.
All right, well, let's ask Julie if she can just give us a couple of lines from her poem, and let's see what you make of them.
Only the brave get the fare. Only a slave to the system says, beware, take care, save up the fare. Take the slow lane, it's much less pain. That's the first verse.
So supposing Julie said, right, I want a song out of this, and it said, take the slow lane, it's much less pain. Does that suggest anything immediately to you?
Yeah, it could be done, yeah. It suggests to me a slow song. I don't know why, it just... Probably because it's sort of kind of poetic. What is the word, sorry?
Take the slow lane, it's much less pain.
Take the slow lane, it's much less pain.
Well, I don't know what Julie thinks, but that seems right to me, and I think our audience believes here that in the Dukes that it sounded right. Julie, what did you think?
I'm not sure, really.
Moving right along. Thank you, Julie, very much indeed. It certainly seems to me to be true, John, that when you write ballads, I mean, that wasn't writing a ballad, but it was something that occurred to you should be slow. You seem to use the piano, and you leave the kind of loud rock and roll bits with the guitar. Is that the way around it should be?
I think so, yeah. I write most of the stuff on piano. There's only probably a few songs that I've ever written that I've written on guitar. Slow Down was written on guitar because that was a riff, and it... A riff on piano like that doesn't sound good, you know? I mean, like... Sounds like... You know? So on a guitar, you can get much more feel on it, you know?
For something like that. But then if you're going to play those chords that sound much sadder to me when you start to play them, it sounds as though they fit properly on the piano.
Yeah, because it's a totally sort of orchestrated instrument, the piano. You have such a range on it. I mean, you can play what you want on the left and the right and put them together. And it's a much larger range to write with.
All right, well, we'll move you on to guitar right after this.
My name is Joy.
And today it's John Miles on guitar and piano. John's with us explaining how he plays those instruments and also building up, through the magic of radio, a demonstration tape of a new song. So far we've got... What have we got so far?
We've got piano and... drum track.
Piano and drum machine. But having moved you round onto guitar, can I ask you a question about guitar? When did you start playing? How old were you? And do you remember your very first guitar?
I remember my very first acoustic guitar. I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I had a cousin who played in a band, and he had all the gear, you know. He had a Burns Black Bison and an echo chamber and a Vox 30. I used to really envy him, and he was a nice fella. He used to come around and sort of show me chords and things. And I had a little acoustic guitar, really sort of cheap, probably about £2.50, £3, or 17 and 6 in those days. And from there, I mean, that was where the interest came from. And I went to a guitar teacher when I was about, I think I was about 13 years old. And I went to a guitar teacher for about a year who had a Hawaiian band, you know, and his wife used to play the accordion with a grass skirt and all that, and she used to play it with her fingers as well. So it was a kind of a strange experience, but it was, I mean, he showed me the chords and where to play them. He didn't tell me the names of them, that's the only problem. But there was a guy there who was a jazz player who I used to play with and try and jam along with, and he probably showed me a lot more than a guitar teacher did. And I went to him for about a year, this guitar teacher, and probably learnt as much as I could from him. And he said, well, all you got to do now is go out and listen to people that you like and pick up little tips from them.
Now, that sounds to me a little different from the way that you went about piano. Would you recommend, for example, having said that you really ought to do the chords and the scales and the rest of it on piano, should you not do the same thing with the guitar?
If you're talking about classical training, I mean, anybody who wants to play sort of rock guitar, I mean, they don't need classical training to play it. You just need a feel. You need to hear. You need to play what you feel.
All right, play something that has to do with feel, that doesn't have to do with the training then. I mean, can
well,
you understand
the
difference?
Well, I mean, you have to listen to sort of blues people, really. B.B. King, all those people, you know, and it's all down to sort of feel. It's all down to coming from your heart rather than from your head, if you know what I mean. You know where the notes are, but you don't actually think about them. You just play what you feel.
Yeah, it's very easy to sit there and say you just feel that. It sounded extremely difficult to me.
It's not. It's not. I mean, I remember in my early days playing guitar, I used to listen to Chuck Berry and all those people, B.B. King, Freddie King. I used to go and see them playing live. And you just kind of sort of adapt a feel for it. And I think, you can't obviously can't see that many people of that quality live these days. But I mean, you can listen to records and you can pick one of the things that you really like and adapt them to what, you know, to your style.
Certainly seems to me, listening to those two bits, you know, you played Julie's lines on piano and then played that. And it's very different, isn't it? The two instruments seem to do a vastly different job.
Yeah, well, I mean, I tend to think that the guitar is much more rhythmic and much more percussive. It's very difficult to get any rhythmic kind of piano playing unless you're a really, really good piano player. But like, if you're learning chords on guitar, I mean, it's sort of, that is an E minor seventh. But the way maybe the Doobie Brothers did that Long Train Running, I mean, it's a very rhythmic, it's like... that kind of thing, and it's all really down to feel and to rhythm. That's what it's down to.
All right, we've got our tune waiting to be named in five, and you're going to add guitar and bass to that. What kind of guitar does it sound like in your head before you actually put it
well,
down?
Well, it sounds very clean, and again, something very percussive. So again, it's sort of going along with the drum track and also adding some sort of extra little percussion things here and there.
Why don't we do that? Can we, if we play back the piano and drum machine, then John will hopefully add on guitar.
And as you see, that guitar line, which is going through the chorus, is again a hook in itself, which again is something that people can sort of latch on to and remember, which is a... That's very repetitive.
What else do we want to add while you're playing stringed instruments? Are you going to play bass guitar on that?
Yeah, the bass guitar, yeah.
And what will that bring to it?
Again, probably a different kind of, another kind of hook line, especially on the choruses. I mean, the choruses, if you write a song these days, the thing I think that sells the song is the chorus. Obviously, it's the thing that is repeated all the way through the song. And that's the thing that you find people whistling at bus stops and, you know, sort of anywhere. I mean, people sort of pick up on the hook line. And I think the more kind of things that you put into a song, instrument-wise, that are hooks, maybe some people latch on to different things.
Sure.
Maybe some people latch on to sort of the bass guitar thing, maybe some people latch on to the guitar, or even the vocal line, you know.
So the bass line on this one, how will that sound?
Well, I don't really play bass, so it might sound pretty awful. But it'll sound... Do you want me to play it?
Yes, please.
Okay, hang on. Hang on.
Could you just give us a quick run through what's the difference between the regular six-string electric guitar that you just put down and what seems to be a marginally larger four-string instrument you just picked up?
Well, obviously, it's a lot of octaves down from that. But the actual piece that I worked out for this, I think, the guitar is doing... Uh-huh. You know? And the bass would sort of play in between that. And again, it's very rhythmic.
Yeah.
Same as the guitar, same as the drum track.
Ready to record this then? Instant recording. What's your name? We've now got drum machine, piano, acoustic piano, electric guitar, and very shortly we're going to add bass guitar. You ready?
Hopefully.
So that's the bass track down and nicely too. Join me, Tony Hale, with John Miles playing keyboards in a couple of minutes.